You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 1st of July, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, Black Lives Matter are continuing their bulldozering through the establishment, and I've been quite pleased with them this week with the tweets that they have sent out. They really have shown up the establishment for the hypocrites that they are. They sent out a tweet criticizing Israel for its attacks on the Palestinians. They've sent out tweets talking about defunding the police, which is, of course, what we've been saying all along. That's what they mainly stand for, is defunding the police, taking all the money from the police. Why are the establishment supporting them? And the defunding the police side of things, that's always been their main aim. But it seems that talking about Zionism, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, as it were. That seems to have really set the cat among the pigeons. We've had Keir Starmer desperately trying to distance himself from them. And now we've got the football pundits also trying to distance themselves from them. But of course, that's going to be a little bit difficult since they got all the football teams to wear Black Lives Matter t-shirts and kneel down in submission at the beginning of the football games. Sky Sports pundits Jamie Redknapp and Patrice Evra ditched their Black Lives Matter badges last night as football captains considered making a statement on the movement, which the Premier League has now distanced itself from, after originally making all players kneel before playing and wear shirts emblazoned with Black Lives Matter. On Sunday, Black Lives Matter UK issued a barrage of tweets over Israel's proposed annexation of the West Bank and claimed that mainstream British politics is gagged of the right to critique Zionism. And, you know, this is good. They are actually highlighting something here that really does need attention. The fact that they have effectively made it illegal to criticize Israel because they can claim that that is anti-Semitism, when really it's just criticism of the way that a particular country is behaving. The following day, Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer, who has taken the knee alongside parliamentary colleagues, called it a shame that the sentiment behind the Black Lives Matter protests was getting tangled up with these organisational issues, and said calls to defund the police were nonsense. I mean, he's so slimy, Sir Keir Starmer is, and trying to squirm his way out of the support for Black Lives Matter here. The main point he's making is, he'd say, oh, I was supporting the Black Lives Matter moment or the Black Lives Matter movement. It wasn't the Black Lives Matter organization that I was supporting. But they are one and the same thing, aren't they? Black Lives Matter UK are the spokespersons for Black Lives Matter, and Black Lives Matter US are the spokesman for the Black Lives Matter movement in America. And we've all known what they were about. We could see it on the placards that they were holding up. It really does seem that it's because they have criticized Israel that we're now getting all these disavowals, because the attacks on the police and the calls to defund the police, that's been going on since the very beginning. Black Lives Matter UK responded by tweeting that, as a public prosecutor, Sir Keir Starmer was a cop in an expensive suit. I mean, this is delicious to see. It really is. to see Keir Starmer and Angela Rayner kneeling down before this group, and then this group just turn around and insult them. I mean, it does show that they actually have a little bit of integrity, don't they? The at least the Black Lives Matter Twitter operator seems to have a certain sense of integrity here. And also it shows that this organization isn't actually being run by Jews, because if they're criticizing Israel like that, then the chances are that, or at least this Twitter account is being managed by somebody who is black rather than Jewish. Because of course, in the past, it's always been Jews that have actually led these black supremacist movements. You can look right the way back through history over the last 100 years, and that didn't really change until about the 70s or the 80s, because the blacks could see that they were being used by this group to further the aims of this other group rather than furthering the aims of themselves. So I'm pleased to see that Black Lives Matter UK are taking a stance on Israel like this. And of course, I do agree with some of their points when they say that they want to be policed by black police, they want to have black judges, they want to have black teachers in the schools, they want to be taught black history. And I say we should give them all of that, and we should give them all of that in a separate territory to white people, where they would be much happier among their own people. This is what they are asking for. That's what we should give them. Well, Sky Sports' ditching of the Black Lives Matter badges during Tuesday's coverage of Brighton v Manchester United comes after another pundit, Matt Letizier, said he only wore the badge after being asked to do so by bosses at the broadcaster. So he was in actual fact forced to wear these badges, and I suspect that all of them have been forced to do this. Of course, the broadcaster is going to say that they didn't force them to do so, but if your boss asks you to do something, you don't turn around and say no, do you? Mr. Letizier, 51, criticised the group's far-left ideology and said he could not support the cause's anti-police and anti-capitalist aims. He had, along with fellow Sky pundit Jamie Carragher, appeared on air wearing a Black Lives Matter badge, but said he only did so after being asked to. Sky Sports said the issue of wearing the BLM badge was a matter of individual choice. I mean, the pressure on people to go along with this is immense. There's a really good picture that's going around on Twitter showing a woman in a sports team. I'm not sure what sports team it is. And the sports team are all kneeling, and she's refusing to kneel. She's standing and making some symbolism with her heart. I guess she's saying, look, I'm a Christian. I don't kneel before anyone. And you can just imagine the pressure that is on this girl for doing that. People have been trying to name and shame her for this. So for Sky to say, well, it was a matter of individual choice, any of these football players, if they had said, well, we're not going to wear the badge or we're not going to kneel, they probably would have been kicked out of the team. They certainly would have had a lot of harassment from the social media. So it's interesting that some of them are now starting to speak up about this and having concerns about, as Mr. Letizier says here, about the far-left ideology. In yesterday's statement, the Premier League said it stands alongside clubs and footballing bodies in supporting people who have come together in recent weeks to reject racism and to show support for the message that Black Lives Matter. However, it then went on, we do not endorse any political organisation or movement, nor support any group that calls for violence or condones illegal activity. Well, how can you reconcile the two when Black Lives Matter call for illegal activity? They call for statues to be pulled down. They call for retribution against the police. There was one of their members yesterday that was calling for killing white people. That's quite often we see that scrawled in graffiti, kill whites. They say, we are aware of the risk posed by groups that seek to hijack popular causes and campaigns to promote their own political views. Well, isn't that interesting? It looks to me like it's the Labour Party that are trying to hijack a popular cause and campaign here to promote the Labour Party's views. And it looks to me like groups like the Premier League and Tetley Tea, or whatever the tea bag, Yorkshire Tea, and all these other corporations that have jumped on this bandwagon. They're doing so to promote their corporations, and the Labour Party are doing so to promote the Labour Party, and the Premier League are doing so to try and promote the Premier League. So it's really the pot calling the kettle black here, saying that there is a risk that groups could hijack the popular cause. Of course, what he's trying to say by that is that the official Black Lives Matter group have hijacked their own cause. Is that what he's saying? That seems to be what Keir Starmer is saying, that there's a difference between the movement and the group that leads it. They continue, these actions are entirely unwelcome and are rejected by the Premier League and all other professional football bodies, and they underline the importance of our sport coming together to declare a very clear position against prejudice. So what he's saying Black Lives Matter is not a political organisation, it's not a political movement, so we're okay to support them. But that is not the decision that the army have made. They've decided that Black Lives Matter are a political movement, and therefore it is wrong for any public body to show support for them. Soldiers have been banned from kneeling in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement because it was deemed too political. Commanders warned personnel at HMS Sultan in Gosport, Hampshire, that when in uniform they could not partake in the action. It comes after a row over the move, as the Metropolitan Police gave the green light to its officers to taking a knee during a BLM protest last month, with one former officer saying he was ashamed that officers had taken a knee. He tweeted, "I served in the Met Police many years ago. Take an E, never, never, ever. I'm ashamed of what they have to do today. In my day, it would have been very, very different. The Mayor of London and Cressida Dick should resign in total shame." And that's what this tweet was that this former Metropolitan Police officer sent out. It comes after Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab also came under criticism after he said he understood why some people took the knee, but said he would only do so for the Queen and the missus when I asked her to marry me. A lot of people have criticised Dominic Raab. They've said, well, he's got Jewish heritage, but he has actually said, you know, a couple of good things. Standing for Prime Minister, hoping to be elected as leader of the Conservative Party, he said that he's not a feminist. He doesn't support feminism. And as far as I'm aware, that's the only person, mainstream establishment politician, that I have ever heard say that they don't support feminism. They're normally bending over backwards to say such things. And he has spoken out against political correctness in the past, and he was brave enough to say that no, he wouldn't kneel down for this organisation, and he took a lot of stick for it. So I think we do have to give Dominic Raab credit there, where credit is due. Obviously, he will have divided loyalties. His loyalties will be to Israel in some instances rather than to Britain, but that's pretty much the same for all politicians nowadays. Getting back to the football scandal here, the group's other aims prompted Sky Sports pundit Matt Letizier to tell Mail Online yesterday of his concerns. His words followed black footballer Carl Henry, who branded the group divisive. Letizier said bosses at Sky had asked him and other pundits to wear the logo for their appearances, and he agreed, but pointed out he supported the cause, not the organisation. And this is similar to when the volunteers that help out with the National Trust were all forced to wear gay pride badges last year. And a lot of them were saying, what has this got to do with the National Trust? I don't want to be wearing a gay pride badge. I'm not proud of what homosexuals do. And they were forced to do that. They were told that if they didn't do that, then there was no place for them at the National Trust. They would have lost their jobs. And it's probably the same here, that Letizier would have lost his job if he had said, I'm not going to wear this badge. But then again, I doubt whether he would have had the courage not to do it anyway because of the social pressure. Speaking outside his home near Southampton, Hampshire, he said, "I just don't agree with some of the points of that movement. Specifically, the defunding of the police and the anti-capitalist points are things I do not agree with." So this is good. At least it means he has actually bothered to check the organization out and what it is that they are demanding. He says, they are the two main points for me. I'm quite happy for them to have their point of view, but that is mine, and that is where I sit. And I think a lot of people in the country would agree with me. I will still wear the badge because I do, of course, believe Black Lives Matter. It's a simple thing. I agree with the cause, but there are parts of the organization that I just cannot support. Of course, Black Lives Matter will say, well, if you are going to say that Black Lives Matter, then you should be supporting all the things that we support, such as defunding the police. As I say, that is their main platform, even though it's based on false statistics and media propaganda, propagandizing blacks into thinking that they suffer a disproportionate risk of dying in police custody, when in actual fact they don't. When asked whether pundits on Sky Sports have been told to wear the badge, Letitia laughed and said, we were asked to wear it. And of course, if you're asked to do something by your boss, you have to do it. You can't really turn around and say no, can you? He and Henry had been the only high-profile voices in football so far to raise concerns about the UK arm, which has protested over the killing of George Floyd by a white policeman in the US. And, you know, we should really highlight that there's nothing to say that that George Floyd was killed out of a racist urge by that policeman in the US. We don't know that he was directly killed by the chokehold that was put upon him. And we certainly don't know that it was out of racism at all. The only thing that could suggest that it was racism is just the fact that the officer was white and the guy that died is black. So they're effectively saying if a black person is hurt in any way by anybody white, then it was racism was the cause of it. That's what is implied by this. Until these two footballers, the sport had completely embraced the movement, with players kneeling down before Premier League and Championship matches kicked off. I wonder if they're going to apologise for attacking the White Lives Matter banner that was flown now in response to this, which they all condemned. Now that they're starting to see that Black Lives Matter are not quite as straightforward as that term would imply, are they going to walk back on their condemnation of the White Lives Matter banner? I doubt it, but it would be good to see, wouldn't it? Letitia is one of football's most popular pundits after a glittering career at Southampton and was voted the greatest Premier League football player of all time in a Eurosport poll. So a lot of people are going to be paying attention to what he is saying here. He began the debate by urging his followers to remove him on Twitter if they were from the far right or the far left. And again, at least he's pointing out that there is a far left. Morning peeps, polite request. If you are far right or far left, do me and yourselves a favour and unfollow me. It'll be good for yours and our mental health, as I couldn't give two hoots how many followers I have. I won't be offended. One Twitter user replied, if you are central, Matt, then why wear a badge promoting a far left ideology? Good question. The 51-year-old wrote back, that's a good point, and one which I have made to my boss already. Again, so he's saying he was forced to wear this badge against his will. Another said, maybe you should review your BLM badge wearing, to which he responded, I am reviewing. There has been plenty of reaction and debate following Letitia's tweet, with another user saying he hated this badging of the left and right, and another one replied telling him that BLM badge is a bit dodgy. Well, this is good. This is telling us that despite what you read in the newspapers, that there's this massive support for Black Lives Matter, in actual fact, the majority of people in Britain, they don't have support for this organisation. They can see that they are anarchists, basically, trying to tear down what we have built here in the West. They're just trying to tear down our civilization because it is not their civilization. Former Wolves, Stoke City, QPR, Bolton and Bradford City professional footballer Carl Henry also raised concerns about the aims of BLM UK. He tweeted yesterday, I think the majority of the UK have now had enough of that organisation. Well said. A new, inclusive and politically neutral anti-racism movement to follow and get behind is much needed. Black People's Lives Matter. The divisive Black Lives Matter organisation, however, does not. Well, of course, the problem is, if they have an inclusive movement and it's blacks and it's also whites, then the whites are going to get accused of microaggressions in actually setting up this movement anyway, because it kind of implies that the black people aren't capable of doing it for themselves. See, these are the problems that you get into when you try to mix all the races together and pretend that everybody is equal. It just flies in the face of reality. In further remarks, he took aim at some of the UK group's far-left policies. He added, "Let's just look at capitalism, which Black Lives Matter UK want to abolish. It does not favour white people. It is not the enemy of the black community. Capitalism allows free enterprise and entrepreneurialism. If other communities can flourish under capitalism, so can we." And this is the point that just blows a great big hole in the edifice of racism. If people are prejudiced against people for having different coloured skin, then how come the Chinese are so successful? How come the Indian community is so successful in our countries? The reason why these other communities are successful is because they have more people with higher IQs. If you look at the average IQs, Indians have got a lower IQ than white people, but they do have a certain percentage of people that have very high IQs, which is why you get quite a lot of Indian doctors. And of course, Chinese and Japanese, they have a slightly higher average IQ than white people. So they do very well in the Western world. But blacks have such a low IQ of an average of 85 if they are half black, half white mixed, and 75 if they are sub-Saharan black, that they're just not capable of doing well in our civilization. And we can see that from the problems that they have with maintaining the civilization that we left them in Africa. And of course, if they've been promised all this time that the only reason why they aren't as successful as white people is because we've been prejudiced against them, because for some reason we don't like the colour of their skin, then they're going to blame us for everything. All their failures, we are going to get the blame for, when what we should really be doing is just speaking the truth about this and saying, look, it's not your fault you're not doing as well in our civilization as you would like, but it's not our fault either. It's just a simple fact that you are different to us and you naturally fit a different kind of civilization to the one that we have. I mean, we can put it that way. I mean, that's quite a polite way of putting it. They fit in much better with the conditions and the culture and the societies that they have in Africa than they do in the culture and societies that we have here in the West. They don't fit because it's not a culture that was created by them. Their culture comes from a country or a continent where it's much easier to survive, for instance. You can go to parts of that continent where it's warm all the time. You don't necessarily have to have central heating and double glazing and all the technology to keep yourself warm. You can just go out and pick the fruit. It just grows there. You've got a growing season where you can grow fruit and plants four times a year instead of once a year and having to follow the harvests. It was a much easier life for them there in Africa, and they've never really had to develop technology and ways to do things like we have developed them in the West. And in order to have the time to actually develop the ability to maintain a civilization, I mean, that could take thousands of years, and they've just been dropped in the middle of our civilization and have been told that the only reason they're not as successful as us is because we're just prejudiced against them. And quite clearly, that isn't true. Because as I say, these other communities that have come here, they've managed to do quite well. So this is going to make them even more angry. It's going to make them think that they specifically are being singled out. And it's just a fact of life. We just admit that all the peoples of the world are different. They are happiest amongst themselves, where they can communicate with one another, where there is a sense of understanding one another's body language, a sense of connection there. They feel safest amongst one another. And if you put more than one group together in one territory, then that is going to create friction quite clearly, because the interests of one group are not going to coincide with the interests of the other group. And it's just natural that you do what you can to look after your people. And because we have a limited amount of resources, if one group has those resources, then the other group can't have them. But if you just have one group in one area, then there's nobody that can take those resources away. There's nobody else you can blame for if you don't have the resources. There would be no racism. You couldn't blame anybody for racism if you just had one group in one area. And the people would be happy and they would be free to develop at the pace that they wanted to develop. They would be free to have the governance that they wanted. They'd be free to have the political system that they wanted. They could decide that through democracy. And you could have a black territory. And if they really didn't want to have the police, they could get rid of the police. I mean, they never had the police in Africa. That wasn't something that they developed. They never developed a system of law. They never developed a system of writing. They were used to just being free to do whatever they want and free to take part in society or not take part in society. That's what comes naturally to them. And if you put them in a very regimented society where everybody is expected to put everybody else's needs ahead of their own, then you're going to get all these problems, aren't you? And European civilization is built upon reciprocity and altruism. It's built upon us doing what we can for others and others doing what they can for us, which is totally at odds with a society that is used to taking what you can for yourself and producing as many children as possible and not really investing much time into the parenting of them, because what they might die very easily. So that's why in Africa they have lots and lots of children. They don't invest the time in the parenting. What comes naturally to them is to have lots of wives, lots of husbands, and the whole way of doing things is totally the opposite to the way of doing things that we have in the West. It's effectively trying to fit a square peg into a round hole by having these people here. And you can say, well, in America, they were brought to America, they were purchased as a workforce, and it is America's responsibility to have done something with them if they decided they were no longer going to use this workforce and they were effectively going to say, well, you can do whatever you like now. It was up to America to solve whatever problems they had, but we certainly had no need to import them into Britain alongside all the problems that we knew that was going to bring. All we had to do was look at the problems that America was having with the civil rights movement to see why would we want to import all those problems over here into Europe. I mean, that was absolute madness. The guilt for all of this we can lay at our own government's feet. You know, we can't blame black people for behaving the way they are behaving. We can blame our governments for importing them and encouraging this and not doing something about it decades ago when it was pointed out that this is what is going to happen in the future if something is not done about this now. Enoch Powell was possibly the most popular politician we have ever had in Britain. And if you look at the mainstream media today, they're still slandering him. And yet everything that he said would happen did happen. And still we're trying to cover this up. We're still lying about the fact that there are differences between the races. And the simplest solution to all of this is just to be honest and say, well, yes, there is a difference. Black people are different to white people. It's not that white people are holding you back. It's just that you are a different people. You were created to fit a different culture, a different society, and to build a different civilization to the one that you now find yourselves transplanted into. And it would be best for all if we were just to peacefully separate. Let them have their territory. We'll have our territory. And that would be it. There would be no more racism left in the world. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.